We're back on with Coulter Lubin from the Wildlife Division of the DNR, and we're going to shift now from talking DNR business to your personal fishing efforts, which, man, you are always fishing, it seems like. You're in Marquette today, right? You're going to fish around Marquette?
Yeah, I think I am. You know, I was up here for work, and because we're doing some telework stuff, I can finish out my work day up here, and I think I'm going to put the boat in at Dead River Basin. I got a friend that's fishing out there right now, and unless he tells me it's absolutely awful and not worth my time, I'll probably be up there on the dead till dark tonight.
And just so folks know, you're mainly a bass chaser for the most part, right?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I do about everything, but I mean, I would say 90 to 95% of my time on the water is spent on bass fishing.
Well, I'm curious if you think any of the big mayfly hatches could impact the bass fishing.
Well, all I can tell you is that I got some experience with that here. Not in the UP. I've spent this past weekend 3 days. I was down in the Traverse City area on Grand Traverse Bay and surrounding inland lakes. And on top of being about a week late on the spawn, you know, I wanted to go down there to sight fish some really big smallmouth bass in east and west Grand Traverse Bay. And I did get to sight fish a lot of fish, but they were a lot of males, so it was about a week and a half late, which, you know, if you're a fishing person, you know that that's what can happen. But then also they had a bunch of mayfly hatches leading up to the time I was there. And every fish that we did catch, not necessarily the bed fish, but the fish that were, you know, back off the beds, if we caught them off some of those deeper breaks, they were chock full of mayflies. I mean, you could tell their bellies were full. And then we saw schools of 20, 30, 40 smallmouth just laying on the bottom, and they had no intention of biting anything. So there was mayflies all over the top of the water. So it can definitely have an impact and make it a struggle, but that's part of fishing. If you fish only when the fishing's good, you know, you're not going to be able to fish 5-6 days a week either. So,
so when you are not on one of the Great Lakes, I know you spend some time in the Gwinn area too. Have you been on Big Shag at all, chasing largemouth?
Yeah, and the reason Gwinn is, you know, I spend a fair amount of time in Gwinn, especially during the week. Some of those resort lakes, cottage lakes, they can get a little busy on the weekends. So that's kind of where I put my time in during the week. And Gwinn, for me, you know, it's about a 40-minute drive, but it's all on pavement. So right when I get out of work there, I can be in Gwinn within 45 minutes and fishing within an hour. So it gives me, especially this time of year, you know, I can get 4 or 5 good fishing hours in. And Big Shag is one of those lakes I go to just because I'm really trying to work on getting better at skipping and flipping around docks. And, you know, if you've ever been on Big Shag, there's a lot of cottages, a lot of homes, so there's a lot of docks. And the fishing's pretty good. You know, you're not going to catch a 5-6 pound fish every time out, but you are going to, you know, catch those nice 14 to 17 inch fish that are just fun to catch, and you're going to put a fair amount of numbers. I think the other night we must have caught somewhere around 30 to 35 bass, so that's not a bad night at all.
No, that's a nice night, yeah, for sure. What were you using, or what can you recommend for folks wanting to head out on the small inland lakes for bass?
You know, there's a bazillion things, right? Us bass fishermen try to make things more complicated than what it needs to be most of the time, probably. But, you know, the main thing is just going to where the fish are. And I've noticed on, you know, those lakes like Big Shag, I like to fish, you know, right on the weed lines or right in the weeds and then around those docks. And so for that, you can just use just any old Texas rig, whether it's a Texas rig, Cinco, you know, anything Texas rig, and then anything like a craw shaped or a jig. And what you're really just trying to imitate bait fish, and you know, we know up here the main bait fish for bass is bluegill, especially in these small inland lakes. So anything green pumpkin or black and blue, you know, we, you know, people that bass fish together, we all talk about how we got a trillion colors in our box. When it comes down to it, black and blue and green pumpkin, just because that's what looks like a bluegill.
Any other info you'd like to pass along to us going into this holiday weekend to help people catch fish?
You know, and again, you know, I've explained to you in the show, you know, I'm still learning a lot of this stuff myself, and what's been going on and what's going to continue going is this really hot, hot weather. So, you know, everything that I've learned and I've seen and I've read about, these fish are either going to be buried in those weeds, like buried, so they're going to be really tough to get to. They're going to push way underneath these shady docks, or they're going to be out in deeper water, because those two places are the cooler places for those bass to be. And I'm pretty confident in that the bass this weekend aren't going to be overly aggressive, because it is really hot. It's like me and you when it's super hot. We come off our couch a little slower, and we come off the deck chair a little slower because it's so hot. And fish are the same way, so you're just going to have to fish a little harder for them, but they're still there. They didn't go anywhere.
Coulter Lubin from the DNR, both talking goose banding as DNR business and his personal bass fishing experience, passing along some great tips there. Thanks so much, man. Have a great weekend.
Yep, you too, Adam. Enjoy the nice weather.
and I hope you slay them tonight on the hoist. This is The Outdoor Show.